You're listening to the Global Build-Up with Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, a daily feature on Your World Today, as we look at stories that come from across the globe. We touch base with Hafiz Ab. Hafiz Ab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Muftisam.
Latest in the Iran-Saudi Hajj standoff. Tell us more about this. This one seems to be an interesting one.
Yeah, and it was, you know, when people go for Hajj on a yearly basis, there are two groups of people that are very noticeable, I think, compared to the rest of the Hujjaj. One is the Hujjaj from Turkey, and the other is the huge contingent of Hujjaj that come through from Iran. Now, this year, some people might be quite pleased about this. We're not going to be finding any Hujjaj from Iran being, or any Hujjaj from Iran being present in Saudi Arabia. This is because negotiations between the two parties, as happens between all Hajj missions and the Saudi Hajj Affairs Ministry, which happens just before Hajj or a couple of months before Hajj, those have broken down. And there's a few factors that have contributed to the breakdown in these Hajj negotiations. Number one was the stampede last year in Mina, and a considerable amount of those who had passed away were Iranians. That was about 470 according to official figures, but according to, you know, almost all counts that have been compiled through media agencies, the official count of pilgrims passed away in that Hajj tragedy, definitely much higher than what has been reported by the Saudis. So that's one. Iran is saying that Saudi Arabia is unable to guarantee the security of its pilgrims. On the other hand, the Saudis have said that, you know, Iran is politicizing the entire matter, and it is because of the intransigence of the Saudi Iranian authorities that pilgrims will not be able to perform Hajj this year, and this is something that the authorities, the Iranian authorities, will be accountable for in the court of Allah. That's one. The other issue is earlier this year, the Saudi authorities, rather the Iranian authorities, announced that they are not allowing the pilgrims to come for Umrah, and this was allegedly after some of the pilgrims, two young men, were harassed at the Jeddah airport. That exacerbated tensions. There's also the ongoing tensions between Syria, between Saudi Arabia and Iran, that are playing out in theaters such as Syria and such as Yemen. That's another factor, and it's also big business. Now, when pilgrims come from all over the world to Saudi Arabia, it injects a lot into the Saudi economy, and there, you know, with 100,000 pilgrims coming from Iran, this will certainly make a big contribution to the Saudi economy. So some suggestions are that Iran is using this as, you know, economic warfare of a sort against Saudi Arabia. So for all those reasons, Iranians not coming this year, and Iran is taking up further, saying that their pilgrims who passed away in that in the tragedies last year haven't been paid what they call blood money, and they're actually taking on French lawyers to fight this case for them on the international arena to get this money and to get whatever they see as accountability for Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia says that Iran is just trying to politicize the whole matter. They are trying to, through these negotiations, wanting to hold political demonstrations in Saudi Arabia, which is an absolute no-no for them. Saudi Arabia says, you're welcome at any time. You know, your planes weren't allowed to visit Saudi Arabia previously. We will allow you to land your planes in Saudi Arabia. We don't have an official mission in Saudi Arabia. You could do it through the Swiss embassy. We're happy with that as well. So this is the tussle between the two. So as it stands, no Iranian pilgrims will see at all this year, which could reduce the numbers visibly because the quotas of other countries have not subsequently been increased. But what Saudi Arabia has said it is willing to do is, any Iranian expats who are living wherever it may be in Saudi, in South Africa or in Europe, if they want to come for Hajj, they can do it through tour operators in their countries, and they'll be welcome to come for Hajj.
Yes, it's going to be really interesting how where this all will end. Then the next issue that does come up is the Hajj Badal, now a big business.
It's all over social media. Some of these adverts actually come through on our feed from time to time, or you see a WhatsApp message that's being circulated. This is how it works. You have to pay something like 4,500 Saudi riyals. In our money, it's coming close to about 20,000 rand that will be paid for Hajj Badal. And people in Saudi Arabia, most probably expats from the, you know, Indian community, Pakistani community, and so forth, undergo this journey. And while they are performing this journey, they will provide video and photo reports back to the person who has requested this particular journey. So all you need to do is send your name over to them. They will perform Hajj on your behalf, give you these regular updates. You have to pay 3,500 Saudi riyals before, and 1,000 you pay after the Hajj is completed. The problem with this is manifold. The first is, how does one absolutely, confirm that this Hajj is actually being done? One could do record photos or take photos from other pilgrims and present that as the Hajj being completed on somebody else's behalf. Another issue would be the commercialization of the Hajj in this aspect, and this is what Saudi SR academic professor Al-Qarni, Abdulaziz Al-Qarni, from one of the from the Imam University in Riyadh, in fact, has pointed out first that this is doing Hajj expressly for the sake of monetary gain, and secondly, it could make people lazy to perform the Hajj. Maybe people do have the capacity to perform the Hajj, but don't do it themselves. So these are the concerns that have been raised. In addition, many of these people will try to perform Hajj illegally, and the risk of them not presenting their Hajj permits to the Saudi authorities may mean that they're not performing the Hajj at all. But nonetheless, these adverts continue during the rounds, big time on social media.
And then the next story that we pick up on is really an emotional one, and this is a wish of an ill Kenyan Muslim.
Yes, his name is Abdul Aziz Aden, and we received this following clip of him while he was speaking from his hospital bed a bit earlier today. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
My name is Abdul Aziz. I am a cancer patient. I am in India, but I can't get treatment. I want to go to Hajj. Please, give me visa, inshallah.
Yeah, that is him speaking, and it's really quite difficult to watch him. He's a sufferer of bone cancer. And as he mentioned in the clip, he's from Kenya, but he went over to India to get treatment. If you look at him, he's got this huge lump very visible on his head as a result of the condition that he's suffering from. And doctors in India have mentioned to him that he doesn't have much time to live. But in spite of his condition, and in spite of, somebody saying the most logical wish at this time probably could be to be cured from this illness so that you'd be able to live a better life thereafter and, be able to get married and a whole lot of other things that come after that, his main wish is that he gets a chance to go for Hajj. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him that chance in whichever way the Almighty deems to be best.
A really touching story. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his plea and his dua, the call from his heart. Hafizap, we appreciate your time this afternoon. Jazakumullah khair for sharing the very interesting stories with us this afternoon.
Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Hafiz Ibrahim Musa with the daily edition of the Hajj, the Global Build-Up, focusing on stories that you won't necessarily find in the Saudi media. So we're giving you both sides of the coin in terms of the crossovers with Mulana Abdurrahman Layli, that is picking up on the stories that dominate within Saudi, and with Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, he then picks up on the stories of Hujjaj from various countries of the world.